Yeah, hard to beat.
It was either that or Hearts on Fire.
We can go right into that one next.
Yeah.
We don't have to say more. We can just listen to jam out.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, because it's not... Yeah, because it's not like... It's not, yeah, because it's not like squeaky, clean kid stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like kid, you know, like, hey, guys.
Yeah. So does it bring you back to your wrestling days?
That, and I used to watch Vision Quest. Did you ever see that movie? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
That's a must-see. That's a must-see, Vision
Quest. I'll put it on the list.
Like a wrestling movie, yeah, Vision Quest.
No, hold on for a minute. Is it a wrestling movie?
Yeah, it's a wrestling
movie. Yeah. I've heard of it.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a phenomenal movie.
I think of Vision Quest as
think
like...
Think of Rocky, but in a wrestling sort of form.
I view that as like going out west, having a Vision Quest, which I just got back from. I just got back from Santa Fe. That van out there?
Yeah.
I took my podcast.
I love the van, by the way.
Thank you, bro. Sweet. Thank you, bro. Yeah. I took that thing from here through West Virginia. I stayed a night in West Virginia at this family camping thing. It was like 11. I'm going to bed. These lights come up on the thing. It's not the police, but it's maybe even worse than the police in West Virginia. And they're like, what are you doing? Thinking you can roll up here and just...
In a van.
And think you can just camp. And I'm like, hey, I'm Billy. He's like, yeah, back up from the thing. And he like reaches over for his gun, or it indicates that he might have a piece.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
I took that out to Santa Fe. That's the best story I got.
No, I got a friend of mine who just traveled the country in a van with her two dogs.
With their two dogs.
Yeah, so she traveled the... are we recording right now?
We're recording.
Oh, okay. All right. What's up, guys? No, so one of my best friends just literally traveled the country with Van. She went to Burning Man, the whole nine yards.
I mean, it's time to do it with the pandemic and everything.
Yeah.
Van life is a big sort of like hashtag or movement, you know. Also, the Academy, I don't know how big into movies you might be, but the name of it was an Academy Award winner, Nomadland.
Never saw it.
Yeah,
never
it's all about it. A lady living out of the back of her van and the culture.
I can't believe I haven't seen it too with the year of watching movies and all. So you think
it's
like,
good?
I mean, I literally watch everything on Netflix this past year.
It's good. It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's next on the list.
You hula hoop?
No, but I've put that in my show before.
Can you? Ten years ago, I can hula hoop. I can't do it anymore.
I'll just be like, hey, guys, I think the hula hoop's broken, and then I'll put it around my waist, and it'll just drop. And I'm like, it doesn't work. And they're like, no, you're doing it wrong.
So, I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm like, this thing's broke. I'm returning you to the store. I do the same thing with the jump rope, too. So I'll take a jump rope, and I'll just
do it
on my feet, and I just won't jump. And I'm like, guys, this thing's broken. I'm returning it. They're like, you got to move your feet.
It's the same. I don't know if it's... Totally, we just met each other a couple hours ago, but I have a very similar sense of humor.
Yeah,
I love working with kids.
Yeah,
and I would do little kid PE classes.
Right,
you know, ball, dodgeballs, and like basketball, capture the flag, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
and just you know, the corniest jokes.
Is there any better game than capture the flag?
No.
And is there anybody way to like to have about 37 arguments within the first 5 minutes in that game? I tagged you, man.
You gotta go to jail. free walkbacks.
Yeah, free walkbacks.
You got my t-shirt.
Yeah,
does that count?
That was air. That was the breeze going by. That was the breeze.
Those are the days, man.
Yeah, man. I used to love that.
You just talking about, you used to play cap. By the way, this is the great Zucchini. Eric, can I do a real name?
Yeah, of course.
Eric Noss.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah. And welcome to the podcast. It's, it's been great. You've been here for like 2 hours, and we've just been rapping like we've known each other for a long time.
Has it been 2 hours already?
No, hour and a half.
I didn't know. Yeah. Time flew, man. No,
he's cool. A busy man.
I can't believe we haven't run into each other before, man, because I looked at our Facebook, and we got a million mutual friends. So.
Mm-hmm. I got a lot of overlap.
Yeah.
But anyway, everything seems to be going fine between us.
Yeah.
but he was telling earlier about like I used to play... Capture the Flag in Bethesda.
Yeah, you used to. Well, Manhunt.
a man.
So, well, yeah, when I was growing up, I grew up in Bethesda, and so I just remember. I mean, the things I did when I was they were as a kid like would never just be allowed today, just because. But I mean, we used to play hide and go seek, or we called it manhunt.
Yeah,
but it wouldn't just be like
team.
It wouldn't man be. It wouldn't team. Be behind like two trees in a backyard. We do it around the entire, basically around Bethesda.
Yeah, and so like
we'd have like 20 kids, and
it might last all day.
It would literally last.
No like, cell phones, like, right?
You'd find somebody seven garages over from shit. So it was crazy.
It might become dinner time. They get some. Charlie's got to go back to see mom for dinner, and like I thought we're still playing.
Yeah, yeah. I would do that, and then cash man, we would just do. We used to jump on our dirt bikes and. The whole thing.
Back when there were dirt roads around here.
You remember Bethesda when you...
Hot Shops.
Hot Shops, Shakey's.
Mm-hmm. Shakey's Pizza.
The Shakey's Buffet.
Heck yeah.
I used to go there right
after. There's arcade games in there. I remember...
Yeah.
That's right across from the old Hot Shops, correct?
Yeah, we brought...
Which is now like the theater, right? And, yeah. I don't know if it's BF Saul. A big office building there.
Do you remember Pins and Cues?
No.
Okay, all right. That was... see... Even you and I are a bit different generations, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like
a little off. We're like a half generation apart. Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, do you remember a Little House on the Prairie?
Heard story. Yeah.
I'm like, man, do you remember when Carter was president? I'm going way back now, but
Chris Carter, the basketball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're like 10 years apart. Right?
We're about 10 years apart. Yeah,
10 years apart.
But so I made the connection. Zucchini and Houdini. I mean, that's sort of what you're going. That's was that. Who'd you come up with that idea?
So my dad did.
Cool.
He was just like, I was like, I need a stage name, and it came out pretty fast. He was just like, it was like the first guess. He was just like, I don't know, man. Maybe like the Great Zucchini, and I was like, yeah, that works. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. So
it worked.
Yeah. And now,
I mean, it's like Houdini. It was like, not the legit's not right. But he was serious.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You're correct me if I'm wrong. Is not. You know, it's more lighthearted. It's for kids. It's more fun. So why not Zucchini?
I was just actually watching a documentary about Houdini
really?
The other day, and which is rare for me because when I'm off, like I know some entertainers that literally are watching, you know, videos of different entertainers and different children. I never do that. I'm just not like on my off time. I'm like hanging out with my friends or whatever. I just don't
want to unplug.
I just don't watch many videos of other people. I never watch a video of YouTube of another children's entertainer.
How to do things.
Yeah. I'm just not, it's not my thing. And, but I was watching a documentary on Houdini that just happened to come up. And, they were saying the guy was like so famous that, I don't know how they'd know this, but his name is said in the world like every 20 seconds, something like that. Like
who's this? Houdini?
Houdini's name is like, you know, said in the world every 20 seconds.
Interesting.
I don't know who came up with that, but the guy, the guy was remarkable. And turns out, you know, the guy died from just somebody punching him in the stomach.
Right.
Because, you know, but I already knew that part. But the things he did was just, was way... Sorry,
totally fine.
I thought I put that on vibrate. Sorry,
no problem.
Were just remarkable. But that's not something that would ever intrigue me myself.
It's some serious stuff. I mean, it's taking. I mean, his kind of shtick was like life defying things.
Yeah,
I think right.
Yeah.
And then nowadays you have like David Blaine. Right,
who's got an amazing show?
He's the guy who holds his breath for like a half hour.
Yeah, but I saw his show at the MGM.
Okay.
In DC.
Yeah,
and it was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Yeah,
and I like I said, I don't.
When you say bet, what do you mean? What made it great?
I'll tell you, because David Blaine, a lot of people, the criticism he always gets is that a lot of his tricks are done with camera angles and things like that, and so people are like, "Well, it's on TV, it's camera angles." Mm-hmm. And the thing about David Blaine that was he decided to do a live show, like a touring show, because he wanted to show that, hey, it's not just camera. It's not
live camera angles.
I'm really that good.
Yeah.
And it was just it was phenomenal. He was doing things that blew us away. And like,
incredibly talented.
Super talented, man. super talented. And, you know, I just respect it. You know, respect, I mean, things that, like, you know, swallowing somebody's wedding ring or like spitting a live goldfish or, you know, there's things like that.
How do you do that?
I mean, you'd swallow somebody's wedding ring, you'd see him do it, and then he'd pull it out with like a clothes hanger, and, you know, just doing insane stuff. And I loved it. And a lot of people, there's a lot of magicians that aren't big fans of his.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've talked to a lot of people that aren't big fans. And the reason a lot of them don't like him is because they think that he does a lot of tricks that, you know, they can do too. And I'm thinking, well, but David Blaine did something that, remember I was telling you when we were talking before the podcast about target marketing, figure out how to market your product and what your target is. Well, what David Blaine did, which was amazing, was he decided to focus on the reactions of the people that were watching him. So that's when, you know, you see the cameras and they would look at the people that were watching him, and they'd be going nuts and doing cartwheels in the streets and doing backflips and, oh my, I can't believe what I just saw and things like that. And so he's on these reactions, and it elevated who this guy was. And then he ran with it, but no, I respect the heck out of him. I think he was just, phenomenal.
So when he looked at the reactions after he did a stunt or.
No, he filmed the reactions.
Oh, okay.
So what he did was when he became.
He's focusing on his act.
He was,
but he had cameras on the audience.
On the audience. So they would see what he was doing.
And he'd watch his game film, his tape, right?
He'd watch the game film. And then people would see him, or they'd see the reactions, and people are like, who's this guy? Like he's got people screaming in the streets watching him. And so that's what he did that sort of elevated who he was in eyes of the public. People are like, I got to see this guy, man. Look at the reactions he's getting. And
oh, he spliced that into his videos or something.
Yeah, so or his specials.
Like, okay.
If you looked at any of his specials, like
Mark,
on TV,
Mark, yeah.
And I always thought it was great. And I was like, God, that's smart. That's smart what he's doing.
Ever see old school, like, Def Comedy Jam?
Yeah, love Def Comedy Jam.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
Russell Simmons, I think?
Yeah.
And the comedians are funny. They're real funny.
Yeah.
Like Bernie Mac. But you look at the reaction of the audience, you know,
they're crying.
And it's like, it's self-feeding. So that feeds the comedy, the comedian feeds the audience.
Who's your favorite comedian?
I mean, I loved Bernie Mac when he was around.
Bernie Mac
was
a legend.
You know?
Legend.
Miss him.
Yeah.
People say Dave Chappelle's like,
he's my favorite.
We talked Rogan earlier.
Yeah.
And
Rogan's got a good stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's on tour right now.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. You ever heard Bobby Lee's act?
No.
Bobby Lee's, he plays at the Comedy Store a lot too. But I love watching good stand up too.
It just gets you. I mean, I'm a laugher too. It's kind of funny because I don't generally pick comedies to watch movies, you know?
Yeah.
But I can laugh at the best of them.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm a very animated laugher.
The improv, you ever go to watch comedy, the improv?
No.
They get some great comedians
there.
Yeah.
I love stand up. Good stand up is, as you're saying, is really good.
And it's one of the most courageous things to ever do. Like I see these guys that go to go do stand up and like, you know, the stand ups to get heckled or whatever. Like I don't care how bad the comedian is.
Yeah.
Would never heckle a stand-up, man, because it takes so much courage, man.
Just to get up there.
To get up there and people are looking at you like, make me laugh.
Yeah.
And it's like these guys have crafted their skill, they're working their shtick, and they're just like their butterflies are going, man. And I'm like, when I watch it, man, and I see somebody come out with a good bit, and a good material, and it all comes together. I'm thinking to myself, that guy really, he put some work into it, man, and it really good for him.
And it's like,
perspective.
When you can't fake laugh.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can, but you can't.
Yeah.
You can't fake cry. You can, but you can't. That sort of idea.
Yeah.
And to be able to tap into someone's soul, basically.
Yeah.
And allow it to come out in the form of laughter is not easy to do.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're saying, how difficult it is. Just me sitting across from you doing one-on-one, I'm trying to make you laugh. But then you're in front, you're trying to do that to hundreds of people.
Yeah.
and you're up there and you're exposing yourself, and it's terrifying. It's terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you do a form of that, but it's different, right?
It's a lot different.
You still get butterflies before you get up there.
Nah, it's
butterflies or.
I just did, you know, it, no, I
just kind of,
I don't, I
mean, got
I,
it.
I just did a show,
is that upsetting?
Last week, there must have, like, and there was probably 350 kids there at like 10 o'clock in the morning in Virginia. And now I don't get butterflies.
Is that a good thing or bad? Does that upset you?
No. Cause I get butterflies in a lot of different areas of my life. Like there are things that will make me
make you uncomfortable or nervous,
nervous like anything
outside
else.
Of your comfort zone.
Yeah. I mean, I'm human. Like there are things that I get nervous about, but performing is the back of my hand now.
Mm-hmm.
But if I got up and did a stand up bit,
mm-hmm.
Like I think I could prepare one, and I think I could probably go off pretty well. But I mean, just because I'm used to being on stages,
yeah.
But it would be a whole different ball game,
mm-hmm.
and I think I'd have some butterflies. There's no, mm-hmm.
Oh,
no question.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
It's the
I just don't think I'd want to do it around here. Like I wouldn't want to be like do a stand up bit and then be like, hey man, Parents said I was like, oh man, he was at Jimmy's party this weekend.
Yeah.
Like I'd want it to be a whole different. Persona.
It's like what you said, target marketing. You can't be of all for all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's kind of one of the things that separated you from the pack early on. Who told you to target market?
I just thought about that on my own. I knew, I'd worked as a preschool teacher, so I knew, and I worked, at places where there was a good concentration of younger kids, like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 year olds.
Yeah.
So I already knew how to make them laugh from the classroom because I worked in, schools and classrooms and things. And I already knew what worked. So I knew when I started my show, I said, I'm just going to target the, 2 to 7. And there was a lot of magicians out there that were just, were targeted older kids. And I said, well, hey, I think that, I can do the younger kids, and then I can perform for the younger kids, and then when they outgrow my show, there's already new kids coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the best part, man, Billy, is sometimes, man, I'll be doing a show, and I'll see somebody's 14 or 15-year-old sibling come with their younger siblings who used to see me when they were their brother's age or sister's age, and they're like, hey, great zucchini, just want to come over and say hello. I used to come see you when I was 4 or 5, and they're always good sports with their younger brothers. So it's like they want their siblings to almost experience the fun they had when they were little. So it's
beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, they're there. They're like, hey, Johnny, you got to go. We're going to this. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. And they're sitting there, and they might have seen some of the stuff. It's they've outgrown the appeal probably.
Yeah.
I should hope, maybe, I guess.
I'll tell you a funny story real quick.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, please.
I was at a preschool one time, and there was about, I didn't find this out till after the show. The mom came up and told me that there was probably like 100 preschoolers at this preschool event I was at. We had a great show. The kids were belly laughing. I had a ball. I knew a lot of the parents there. I'd been to a lot of their homes for birthday parties and stuff. I had a blast. And as soon as I was done, a mom comes up to me and she goes, I was sitting over there with my 12-year-old, watching younger brother. The older brother was like, hey mom, Ray Zucchini used to be really funny. And she goes, no, he's still funny, but you were 4 then when you saw him.
Yeah,
so
exactly right.
It was like, yeah, so they outgrow, but it's kind of, it's fun. I know that's going
to
happen.
Yeah. And it's a professional approach to it. Yeah. In that, like, you gotta let the kids go, all right, I am this, this is my niche, and, they're going to get older and they're going to get into other interests and stuff.
But there's always new kids coming up.
But, we're not going to have a shortage of children.
And it's
not China.
And it's very, very targeted, by the way, too. Like, mm-hmm. So I was it's up to 7. And then after 7 is when they'll start outgrowing the show. And it's pretty infinite. Like, mm-hmm. and it's
2 to 7.
It's 2 to 7. Now, what's interesting about it is that if I'm doing a show and there's, say, 35-year-olds in the room, and there's an 8-year-old sibling,
mm-hmm. or 35.
Yeah, say there's 35-year-olds in there. Yeah. But say they have an 8-year-old brother there. The birthday party kid has an 8-year-old brother there. Mm-hmm. And the brother has maybe one of his friends that's 8 or 9 years old. They'll have a ball. They'll have a blast. Mm-hmm. The dynamic changes if there's 38-year-olds in there. So, it'll be, it'll be, so.
They're outnumbered.
Well, what I'm saying is, like I remember one year, this is actually a year before COVID, a dad calls me up, and I've been to his house 5 years in a row for his kids' 3-year-old party, 4-year-old party, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, and 7-year-old party. 5 years in a row. So,
cool.
Dad calls me up. I love his dad. He's a super cool guy. And he goes, great, Zucchini. Ian wants you back for his 8-year-old party. And I said, James, I think Ian has probably outgrown it this year, man. And he's like, what are you talking about, man? He had a blast when he was 7. That was only a year ago. I said, I know, but, I think he's finally outgrown it. I think he's finally outgrown it. And he's like, great, Zucchini, you've been in my house 5 years in a row. You owe it to me. He's requesting you. You got to come and do it. And I was like, all right. I said, I was joking with him. I said, all right, but I'm telling you what's going to happen. And I go do the show, and I never do 8-year-old shows. Like I said, 7 is my cutoff. It's 7 and under, because I just know my props. I know the humor that I bring to the show, and I just know it's for younger kids. So I go do the show, and the second the show is over, the dad walks up to me and goes, huh, I guess he's finally outgrown it. I could not have bombed on that show more than 38 years. Might have got a couple laughs, but I felt
product. You got your product, and you know your market.
It's like, listen, Sesame Street is good for 2 and 3-year-olds, and then 7-year-olds or 8-year-olds aren't going to be in Sesame Street anymore. So. That's all right.
Exactly right. I mean, it's like you want them to outgrow it.
Yeah.
If they don't, then like, oh, something's a little bit off here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dad, mom, we got to talk.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I've actually seen adults come to my show with like my public shows without kids before. A few times, because they're like, hey, man, I've heard about you for years, and I just want to come to the show.
Yeah.
We don't have kids, but I read about you, and you want to come. So I've actually seen that happen a few times.
I mean, I don't know. They're curious as to how you do it. You know, you got a successful enterprise that you built from scratch. You're 21 when you started it. You're CCPC, right? Chevy Chase Presbyterian?
Yeah.
Is that right next to Blessed Sacrament?
Yeah, it's right across the street.
Yeah, I know it well.
CCPC. And then I worked at after schools, after school preschools. I worked at Clara Barton's after school for a little while. I worked at Montgomery College out of child care that I worked at. Worked at their after school also. So, yeah, I worked at a few after schools. Then I worked at...
Was it Kid Zone or what was the place?
Discovery Zone. Yeah.
That's where, like, your name keeps popping up on the request for the party. Is that right?
Yeah. So one day I was telling you earlier that the manager came up to me, and she brought over like 20 forms. And she said, I was one of the party hosts. And
what's common in all these forms?
Yeah, yeah. She goes, and I don't handle the forms. She goes, you're going into party room 4, or you're going into party room 3. And that was my job. And, you know, you got tips from the parents. If you entertained or if you did well with the kids, you got tips from the parents. And you got paid like a waiter. You got paid like $2 an hour or something. But then you'd get tips. So I used to do anything I could to possibly entertain the kids when I was in there. So I, you know, got tipped. And then, follow chairs, and I'd have the kids put their hands behind their back and have cake races where they can only eat with their mouths. And like, I would have just whatever I could make him laugh. And then the manager came up to me with about 20 to 30 forms one day. And she goes, hey, Eric, do you see anything familiar with these forms? And I was like, no, not really. And she goes, look at the bottom. They're all requesting that you host their kids' parties when they have their parties here. And then I was like, oh, wow, that's really cool. And I said, I just hit me like light. I was just like, I can do this on my own. And then, pretty soon I left and started my business.
Rock star, bro. Yeah. Rock star. How do you like working for yourself?
Love it, man. Love it. I set my own schedule. I meet cool people. I go to homes that I would probably never see if I wasn't.
Met a lot of cool people, I bet.
Yeah, a lot of cool venues, a lot of interesting people.
What's the worst? Not worst, but I'm sure. Yeah. What do you enjoy most about what you do?
Meeting different people.
You like people.
Yeah,
I can tell.
Yeah. Definitely. I like meeting moms and dads. I like hearing, sometimes about their jobs. I remember one time I was at a job I was at a party and I was talking to a dad I was talking to a granddad at the party and he used to work, task force, mm-hmm. on John Gotti case back in New York. Mm-hmm. And it turned him into a little kid. So I was like peppering him with questions. And I was like, no kid, man, you were on the front line with that stuff. And, the mom, his wife, walked by and she's kind of rolling her eyes. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ask him so many questions. She's like, are you kidding me? He's been waiting to tell these stories, to a new person for years. She goes, we've heard him 50 times, but he's happy to have a new audience. But, no, I just like, you know, I like just talking to people, and I love entertaining. I love, it's like I show up, and where else do you show up to work, and people are just, you know, excited to see you. And
screaming.
Kids are like, mm-hmm. It's a kid who's here. I mean, it's a good welcome. I mean, I
like having a bad day, get in front of them. Like,
yeah.
Oh,
but it's like, it's
going to be all right.
It's funny though. It's like, it's like. You know, because you're also human also. So there are days when, you know, I'm just using an example, but say you break up with your girlfriend and then you got to go do a show at a theater in front of like 400 people,
yeah.
Whatever. So you have, you've got to turn it on.
You don't want to just hang
your head and the people are there to see you.
You're human, but you have to come across as like a robot.
Yeah.
And such that you got to switch it on for however long your show is.
Yeah. And then
you're in the zone, like when you're performing, you're not thinking, it's like going to be in a game, you know, you're not thinking about all the external crap.
And you have to be a pro, man. You have to be a pro. Like there's times when like, you know, it might be my fifth show of the day.
Yeah.
You know, like on Saturday I'll have, you know, five shows and, you know, you're doing the fifth show of the day and you may be a little tired, but the kids at that fifth show of the day, they're only seeing for the first time that day.
Correct.
So you want the same energy at that fifth show as you had at the first show. And so you just, you know, give yourself, you know, if you're tired or something, you give yourself a little pep talk beforehand. Mm-hmm. You say, turn it on, you go to sleep later. You know, you mm-hmm. just got to sort of
go to sleep later.
Yeah. Got to be a pro about it.
Absolutely. How about anything that you don't like about what you do? Do you like doing like social media stuff? Do you like doing, you got someone who helps you with the website?
Yeah. I'm not,
do you do like books or stuff like that?
Yeah. I mean, no, yeah, I keep this social media stuff to a very small, like I do Facebook because it's old school enough for me to actually understand.
Yeah.
Cause my brain, Billy, is like living in 1983. Like I did not catch up with the tech world that much. So I don't do the, I don't do a lot of that stuff, the Twitter and all that stuff. But Facebook, I can post where a public show is going to be, and I can say, hey, guys, I'm going to be performing, you know, at the Avalon Theater. Come check me out. Or I'm going to be performing at Jam and Java. Come check out a show. I'll be here. So you can just post something and then be done with it.
Yeah.
You know, so I like it for that reason.
And the rest of it, for you anyway, is word of mouth, right? Word of mouth is the best marketing. Getting there can be the hard part, and you're there.
Yeah, like nine out of ten of my shows, nine out of ten of my calls, are the parent that calls me is usually familiar with me. Like they're usually like, my kid saw you at preschool and's been requesting you for the birthday party, or my friends recommended you on a mom's group or something like that. So most of my calls are like that. Most of my calls are not like, what do you do? And, tell me about what you show. Pitch me a show. Most of the times they're familiar with it, which is good, which is what I want.
That's great.
Yeah.
You got any favorite, are all your shows like So if, let's say you got a 2-year-old birthday party.
Yeah.
That's going to be different than the 7-year-old birthday party.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes, so do you have a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7? Do you have 6 templates?
Well, the pace is just different. Like if I do a show for say 3-year-olds. And there's 33-year-olds in the room. You right?
Oh, time out. Can I do a quick joke? What's the... All right. I'm 39, right?
Yeah.
What's a great thing about 39-year-olds? There's 30 of them.
I haven't been there in so long.
No, there's 30. I mean, it's an on-the-line joke. Yeah. You know, it's like the kids and all.
Yeah.
It's like, I just turned 35. What's the best thing about it?
Yeah.
There's 30.
Hey, Bill, I don't think that's going to be making
the second,
my repertoire this weekend.
Right? Okay, good. good to know. But, like, that's the second time you said it on air. It's like, I have 35-year-olds. I'm like, 35?
Yeah.
No, 35-year-olds for your party. All right.
Yeah, for the party. That's what I'm, in terms of, so they're like, all right, I'll use it for, say there's 25 3-year-olds in there.
25 3-year-olds.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
All right. So say there's 25 3-year-olds in there. The pace will just be different. The pace is quicker. Like I'll keep 30 or 25 3-year-olds laughing the entire time.
Yeah.
The pace of my tricks is just different. Like, so I'm with a 7-year-old, I can slow down. Maybe I'll have a little bit more dialogue. Now with 3-year-olds, a lot of times I'll let them be the dialogue also. Because if you just ask a 3-year-old questions, they're hysterical.
They are the entertainment.
That age is funny. So like, I'll be like, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or what does your dad, what does your dad do for work or something? Like the answers they give out are hysterical. So like sometimes like I'll just ask a normal question to a child when he's up there helping me and let him run with it.
Yeah.
And let him shine. If I can.
You take a seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I'll be back tomorrow, guys.
Right. How long we're rolling for here?
Yeah.
You know, this kid went for 15 minutes.
You guys ordered a 2-day package where we show up and
don't do overnights, depend on the pricing.
Yeah.
So those seem super fun. Those seem more, tell me if I'm off, kind of riffing. The kid's going to do some, have goofy responses and going to go for a bit.
Yeah.
And the kid says, hey, my dad's a lawyer. And you can say something like, something, a quick wisecrack about that or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Or
what I'm trying to ask is that let me say this. Do you have a favorite age of all the of your range,
like
3-year-olds fun?
I tell you, like I like them all for different reasons.
Yeah,
like, 3-year-olds are fun. Like I'll do things at a 3-year-old show that I wouldn't do at a 7-year-old. Like for a 3-year-old show, for instance, if I have a 3-year-old helper up there, like I'll pretend like I can't find him for a couple minutes. I'm like, hey,
yeah, exactly right.
I'm like, where did Timmy go? And he'd be doing circles around me. And, I'm looking for him.
Yeah.
I'm picking up my phone. I'm like, hey man, have you all seen Timmy? I can't find him.
Getting a little bit worried.
Now,
do I call 911?
Exactly. I don't see him on the milk carton anywhere. So I'm like, I'll do that with a 3-year-old, which obviously they go, I'll be looking under the couch and he's doing circles around me being like, I'm right here. I'm just giving you that example because I would never do that with a 7-year-old. Because a 7-year-old, that's obviously too corny and too things. So 7-year-old, I may talk to him about.
That might last for like 5 seconds.
Right. I would talk to him about a soccer team, or I might talk to him about a pop culture thing, or be like, hey man, if it's a 7-year-old, girl or something, I might say, hey, are you a Taylor Swift fan? Or not to say boys can't like Taylor Swift also. But I might be like, you're a Taylor Swift fan?
Yeah.
Oh man, watch the song I know. And I'll pick up something and pretend like I'm singing Taylor Swift or something. So just the dialogue and some of the things are a little bit different.
Yeah.
Helping.
I mean, it's like no show's the same, you know, and they're similar. I guess if you do a week of 7-year-old parties or something like that.
Yeah.
It's going to be like rhyming off each other in a way. They're not identical. There's a cool quote about history. It says, history doesn't necessarily repeat itself, but it rhymes. A lot of similar things happen throughout the course of history, but they're not exactly the same.
No.
You know,
it's, Even if it repeated itself, I probably wouldn't remember that. I wouldn't remember the
joys of a short term memory.
Yeah,
huh?
Short term memory, man. I know where I'm supposed to be from point A to point B, and
that's what we talked about earlier. Like,
if it wasn't for Google Calendar,
And you do all your stuff on your own. You don't have a scheduler.
Yeah, no.
You are the scheduler.
Yeah,
and you know, you haven't been late for a show ever.
No, I mean I'm usually at a party. Or if it's not just a party, if it's a library show or a theater, wherever, I'm usually at that place an hour, probably 45 minutes, an hour before I have to set up. Because I'll just send my car and return emails at the location.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that just in case.
You can do work at home or you can do work.
Yeah, I could do it at home.
On the scene.
I could do it on the scene.
And it looks a lot more professional.
Yeah, because if you don't, you know, if you're already there, you know. First of all, you don't have to worry about traffic. Like, I try to allow for any possible thing that could be going on the road, like heavy traffic or whatever, is not going to affect me because I've left so early for that show.
Yeah.
That's
the beautiful thing about cell phones. It's like you're not chained to the desk. Like, my dad was in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning, contracting, and also in real estate.
Yeah.
It's like, you kind of had to be there.
Yeah.
You know, you had to bring lunch in. What if you miss that call? You'll get like a memo to call the guy back.
Yeah.
But, you know, something might change. He might be looking for something and he's not there. He's going to call the competitor. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just now.
So
he
gets back to people right away.
My dad?
Yeah. He used to get back to people.
Yeah.
Right
he away. Used to just be chained to the desk.
Yeah.
You had to stay there.
Like,
that's like office hours. Now it's like, with this thing, you could be anywhere. The cell phone, I'm indicating.
Yeah.
Like you're saying.
Yeah, like I've actually talked to entertainers, man. Speaking about getting back to people right away, I've talked to entertainers that will purposely wait a day or two.
Yeah.
Before getting back to people because they want to give off this impression like they're just super, super busy and to try to give themselves more value so that
that's ego boost.
An ego boost. And I'm my thinking is completely opposite. Like people are always like, I can't believe how fast he got back to people. But it's just I've always been on the thing where you respect people that have taken the time to reach out to you by getting back to them quickly. So I'll always get back to people the same day. Like I've been sitting on, I've been sitting on Florida beaches, not this year, obviously, but I'm saying I've been vacationing with friends where we'll all be sitting out in a lounge chair and I'll return a birthday call. Like on vacation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so like I'll always get back to people the same day.
Yeah, you got a cell phone.
If I don't get back to the same
it.
Day. If I don't get back to the same day, I've driven off a cliff somewhere.
Oh boy. We start worrying.
Yeah.
I mean, I called you a few days ago and you texted me back right away because you were on the weekend. It's just a busy time for you. And I was so impressed. and I was like nervous calling you. Not nervous, but I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, that's a whole other conversation of like people don't really call anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's cause for anxiety for a lot of people, just a telephone call.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very impressed by your professionalism getting back to me right away. And then like you're here at 2:30, it's 4:50 right now. You got things to do, just to come here and rap with me.
Well, time flies, man, with you, man. You're very likable. You're very,
you're very nice.
Engaging, man. And I was like, you have that, I think I'm not just saying this because I'm here, man. But I think big things to this podcast. I know we're both Joe Rogan fans, but I was like, man, you got that. You just offer that sort of person. Like I felt very comfortable right away.
Thank
meeting you, man.
Good. I mean, you give off that vibe too. It's like if you want to have a conversation, there's two there. It takes two to tango.
Yeah.
And some people are better conversationalists than others. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But if you get, let's say, a good conversationalist and you get some other guy over here, a girl.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily open to it or doesn't allow for the other person to be comfortable, then it's not going to go well.
Yeah.
And you have to be comfortable. You know? Like,
and I was surprised, too, because we actually spoke for a good hour and a half before we even started.
Yeah.
So it was just like the thing, and you'll do well, especially when I'm looking at your library here. Like your library is insane, so you're definitely a smart guy, man. So you're one of those guys that knows a little bit about everything. So that's all you need for podcasts. Like, I would be a terrible podcaster. I know that about myself. I would be, like, if I was the host of a podcast, I'd be horrible at it.
I think you got to be good. I mean, I'm learning. You got to, and something you can improve upon, I think.
Yeah.
People say, like, I've even checked out some of Joe Rogan's early stuff,
yeah.
and it's a lot different than what he's doing now. I mean, yeah, granted, it's like, yeah. a dozen years between when he started and now. It's a lot of time. That's a lot of maturation right there in and of itself in life.
And he'll tell you that too.
Absolutely. Because he, that's the appeal for him.
Yeah.
He's there's no filter.
Yeah.
And he's raw and
he'll say
genuine. He's Joe.
He said he can't even listen to himself in the early days.
I believe it.
Yeah.
But it's still up there. He's not taking it down.
No,
that's part of him.
No. Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
That's inspiration. And like, your thing about, like, you're here in a Henley that's got paint on it.
Yeah.
I love Henley. Henley's old school.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Prince is great outdoors.
Yeah, this and is like, actually a clean shirt for me, man.
I don't know about the dirty shirt. Yeah. We might be doing it outside now. but, like, you are you. I could sense it. When we start talking, it's like you seem really you and genuine,
yeah.
and you, what your act is like, yeah, you got some jokes and some tricks and stuff like that, but it's definitely, it's all you.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, I think I always thought being an actor in Hollywood or whatever it might be would be tough because your profession is to be someone who you're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
For an extended amount of time.
Yeah.
And it might be tough to balance who you are with who you're pretending to be. Anyway.
Yeah.
What you do is all you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, I've had people tell me, like, other entertainers that see it, they're like, man, you're not that different outside of, I mean, obviously, I mean, there are some major differences. Like, you know, I'll pretend to be afraid of my hand at a show. I don't do that at all.
Yeah.
When I'm hanging out with my friends.
No, yeah.
So, there's obviously some, you know, I'm not, I mean, I do have a, you know, at the end of the day, I'll turn my brain off or, you know, watch a movie with my girlfriend or something. Like, so I'm not always just like how can I make the room laugh right here. I'm completely like not like that, like, you know, sometimes but I'm but I do like people and I'm comfortable around people. I mean, some of my best friends, Billy, I've known since fourth grade, and I've nurtured a lot of good friendships, such as I know you have, and I just you know, I'm pretty blessed, man. Yeah,
I mean,
all my friends in my sort of crew I've known for 30, 40 years.
It's awesome.
So, yeah.
It's really special. Yeah. I mean, you're a BCC Baron, right?
Yeah, Baron.
All the way, baby.
89, man. 89.
All the way.
Yeah, you haven't seen the statue of me in front of the school yet?
I think they tore that one. No. No, I'm just, statues these days.
I was the third guy on the bench.
Filling up the water?
I used to get in the game when it was like 78-0. Coach would be like, yo, Eric, go make something happen. I'm like, coach, there's 4 seconds left in the game, man.
Doesn't matter.
I was like, that's all right, man. I'll get
chance
out there.
Chance of a lifetime.
Yeah, wrestling was my sport, but you know, I love,
threw on the Rocky to start.
Yeah, that's right, man. That was like,
you're the Rocky, and the guy in your weight class was good. So in order to get in the meet, you had to wrestle up against a Drago.
I had to wrestle up, man. And I used to see this guy that was like,
you wanted to wrestle. That's the only way to get a match.
I faced this guy that was like 3 times my size, man. And like, you know, I just, but you go in there and do what you can, you know. It was good, man. I mean, wrestlers are in good shape. We used to run up and down the Bethesda Metro stairs. And
yeah,
with people on our backs and
through the Bethesda Metro escalator.
Yeah.
Okay. Back when I was young and fit, and probably I would throw slightly dumb in there. I'd come back from like a Caps game.
Yeah.
And I would run up the down escalator.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's hard as all get out. And you know how large, he's freaking huge.
Because you remember one time that escalator was claimed as like the largest in the world or something.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah. And I was like, I would bet people at the bottom. I was like, I bet you can do it. And this is like 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I'm like, at night. And I would do it. I would get it.
Yeah.
And daggone.
People are like,
you get to the top and your heart's like, I just stay in the chest.
Yeah.
Don't leave my chest right now.
But
you know?
But you could do it though, man. That's because you're young, man. Now, right now? Yeah. I'd have a heart attack.
Yeah, no, thanks.
There's no way, man.
What is it?
Like, I go to the gym right now, and like the first 2 months I went to the gym, I think I only hit the steam room. I was like, we got a steam room. I was like, this is perfect, man.
This is the executive workout, bro.
The people at the front desk are like, because I got to know the people at the front desk for a while, and I was like, I'd be in there, like, I'd walk in, I'd be like, hey, fellas, I'm going out, work out, and like 20 minutes later, they see me walk out, like, that was a quick workout. I'm like, I know. It's, I was in the steam room.
It says on the steam, nothing longer than 20 minutes, okay?
you know, I saw your local, you'll appreciate this. You know, I saw in my gym the other day was Dexter Manley.
How about that? Yeah.
I was like.
Jack. I remember him playing jacked linebacker for the Skins.
Yeah.
Right? He's still local.
Dude, he turned, let me tell you, it turned me into a 5-year-old kid when I saw him. I was like, it's Dexter Manley. And I met him. Because I went across the street. I didn't bother him in the locker room, but I went across the street when he was I happened to be getting a sandwich, and he walked in and got a sandwich. And I was like, Dexter, man, I hate asking you this because I know you get asked this all the time. Can I take a picture with you? And he was the nicest guy.
Yeah.
He was the nicest guy. And I was like, cool. Because sometimes, you know, you got a hero. And maybe it might be. Yeah,
not into it.
Yeah,
you know, not.
He's
an exemplar. Yeah. Exemplar. Athlete, you know, that's how you're supposed to do it. You know,
I saw George Muris on there too.
Where was this?
This is at Lifetime.
Lifetime Fitness.
Yeah.
Cool.
George Muris was in the steam room too.
No,
we were the only two in there.
There wasn't any more room.
And it wasn't like you could be like, aren't you George Muris? I mean, the guy's
there's only head, one
head is like going through the roof.
Only 177.
Like, yeah. I was like, yeah.
Talk
like,
to him.
I don't think
I heard he's super nice.
Yeah, amazingly nice.
Yeah,
amazingly nice. And I didn't start because, like I said, I didn't want to bother these guys. So he started a conversation with me, and I was just like, he was like, "Yeah, man, steam's kicking today." And I was like, "That's why I like it."
that's the best.
I definitely wasn't going to try to take a selfie with him in the steam room, though.
No, maybe you weren't a towel. Maybe you weren't.
No.
Yeah, that's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah. No, I enjoy it. But I remember, I mean, Bethesda, man. I mean, I remember before all the high rises were up in, it was like,
yeah,
it wasn't Mayberry. I won't say that, but it was not a huge city like this. I mean, I was, you know, I mean, it was big, but there was a few places like the, you know, like you said, the Hot Shops, the Shakey's, the Roy Rogers, you know,
Yeah,
the movie theater, and that was about it.
Yeah, I mean the Columbia Country Club was considered the country. You know, it's like I'm talking what? I mean, Columbia's put in there 1898, I think.
Yeah,
so 100 plus years ago, you know, this is like you're outside of DC and you're getting into like farmland.
Yeah,
you know, and it started to develop gradually, I would think.
Yeah,
but. It's been changing fast. I mean, I used to live in Bethesda, let's say probably 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's even different now.
Are you a golfer? You play golf?
No, not really. I do, but I don't, it doesn't grab me.
Yeah. Sometimes,
totally grab me.
Sometimes, dads are like, hey, you want to come play golf with us? Sometimes, like, because I'll be performing at like Avenue or like Columbia.
Yeah.
Like, you should come out with our crew. And I'm like, oh man, I don't play. But I wish I did just to play here.
Right around the cart.
So, yeah. I'll be like, I'll come pick up your clubs for you, man.
Caddy.
I'll be the caddy for the day.
So what is it like, what is it about kids that think just jives with you? I mean, it could be like God-given things. This is how God made you.
Yeah, I don't want to be cheesy, man.
What is it about kids?
I actually don't consider it cheesy. God forgive me. I don't want it to sound like it's cheesy because I actually don't think it's cheesy. I actually do believe it was God-given because I prayed about it.
Interesting.
And, so I prayed about it about 27, 28 years ago. I was talking to a pastor, and I don't, I wasn't raised in a religious family at all. I wasn't. But, when I was a kid, every now and then I'd ride my bike to church and, you know, every now and then. Anyways, I was in my 20s and I was talking to the pastor and he's like, hey, man, if you want a little direction with your life, man, just pray about it. God will give you some direction. And a week later, I was working with the kids.
How about that?
Yeah. So I was like, I do believe it was a thing that just came, it's always sort of come naturally. You know, I've had teachers, I've actually had principals that have emailed me and want me to talk to their staff about sort of the psychology of, working with kids. Cause I've had a lot of, people say, like, a lot of, like, child psychologists have sort of watched my shows and teachers and counselors, school counselors, and they'll be like, you know, think there's, you use a lot of psychology in your show and a lot of things that I think would be good to talk about. So I've gone and talked to faculties before. And things
like what's your secret in a way? No, I mean, I think you've just kind of,
yeah,
I mean,
a lot of it's just,
but that's what they're, like that's what people are curious about perhaps. Right. Yeah. Like, so you were you at CCPC?
I was at CCPC. Yeah.
And is that when you went to talk to the priest? Or
no,
was
so
that before?
I was just talking to, I just remember talking to a pastor one time and he just,
you're already teaching.
I don't remember. Yeah. I was already teaching.
Yeah.
And, no, I'm sorry. No, I wasn't teaching. No, I hadn't worked with kids at all.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So ever.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I just said, hey, and he said, I just remember talking to him. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't go to college. So I figured I was making $10 an hour the rest of my life. I didn't know what I was going to do.
Right.
And he just said, hey man, just pray about it.
You'll
get some direction. And a week later, a friend of mine, was working at a preschool already. A week later, she's like, hey, you should try giving a shot at this school.
It's incredible.
So I went there.
It's incredible.
I went there, started doing worked at a preschool. Then I worked at their after school where I was like the sports guy. I was playing football and I was like, you know, I was playing, capture the flag and I was like all these, you know, games with the kids. And, so I was working with the older kids, the school agers and the younger kids. And so, a lot of people don't know this, but when I started doing my parties before the Great Zucchini, I was doing sports parties for kids. So I would go and parents were bringing me into their kids' parties with like 7 to 10 to 12 year olds. I wasn't working with little kids at first.
That's kind of what you were doing. Yeah.
And so I was just doing sports with the kids at parties. I was getting a baseball game going and the kids were listening to me like I was getting, mm-hmm. you know, I do, water extravaganzas where I'd show up and we'd make water balloons and I'd have mm-hmm. water balloon fights. I mean, we'd play capture the flag with water balloons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're doing all that stuff at birthday parties.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started with the Great Zucchini, pretty soon after that. But yeah, I was doing, and then I worked at an overnight camp in New Hampshire. And the people that owned that camp, I was working there for like 11 summers. And some of my best friends in the world I met that worked at that camp. They were like teachers during the year. And then they worked at that camp during, you know, and, you know, some of them had regular jobs, but they would get, they'd come and work at the camp. And we were, you know, we'd go hiking and, you know, we'd water skiing and canoeing. And the directors are like family to me. You know, I still know him well. Some people I worked with still work at the camp. This is like 30 years ago.
So, what was it that like, hey, sports are fun. Water balloons are funner.
Yeah.
They're more fun. But, to take up the Great Zucchini, playing off Houdini, like be more of a performer than a facilitator of, you know, games and things.
Yeah. So I think, okay. So, I skipped over this part too. So, early on, pretty soon after high school, went in the Army for a little bit. And I did the Army Reserves, but I was kind of that age where I wanted to kind of test myself with boot camp and the whole thing and everything. So I went through basic training and all that stuff. And it was a basic training. No, it was after basic training. When we got into our one weekend a month or whatever with mm-hmm. whatever reserves do,
yeah.
That I saw this guy doing some magic tricks, and he was just standing there doing magic tricks. I didn't know him, but I was sitting there watching him, and I was like, "Hey man, where'd you learn that? Like that? I'd like to get into that." And he told me about Barry's Magic Shop. Did you, Barry's Magic Shop was in. Wheaton, then it moved to Rockville.
Yeah.
And I started going there, getting some tricks, and then I just started entertaining a little bit. And then, and here's another thing that a lot of people don't know. So for about 2 months into my career, I was a clown, right? Horrible clown. Mm-hmm. I had like, you see, you don't think I dress up now? Mm-hmm. I had like one dot on my cheek, another dot like on my other cheek. I was just, The makeup always looked horrible. And it was like Dingbat the Clown for about 2 months. For about a month. Dingbat the Clown.
Dingbat.
Dingbat the Clown.
It's so funny that you brought up Dingbat, because I was walking the dogs with Debbie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I saw us like driving. I'm like, just thought in my head, Dingbat. I'm like, yeah. This is, sorry to interrupt, but I'm like, what the heck did that term come from?
I thought you
said. And I was like, Dingbat. And I told Debbie, I'm like, Dingbat. And then you bring it up.
That's I thought you mentioned that the second you met me.
Oh,
I was like, Debbie, you have me just go. So, anyways, horrible. So I'd go out to these things.
Dingbat
the Clown for about 2 months. This is years ago.
Yeah.
And I'd have to make those balloon animals. And yeah. Anything the clowns do.
Yeah.
And I was horrible at making those balloon animals. And I remember working at a thing outside where there was like a festival or something, and I was a clown there. And there was also another clown there. And you could always tell which kid came to me for a balloon and which kid came to him for a balloon. So the kid that came to me for a balloon would always get like a dog. But the kids who went to the other town would have like the Empire State Building made out of balloons, and they'd be walking around with like, here's Saturn, you know, made out of balloons. And the kid that came with me would have a poodle. The kids are like talking trash. Don't go to that clown. Right. That clown doesn't know.
That clown's a clown.
Yeah, that clown. You know, kids would be like, can I get a Power Ranger? I'm like, okay, but it's going to look like a dog. I give him out a dog.
How about Tyrannosaurus Rex dog?
Can I get a Superman
Ferrari dog?
This is Superman on a dog.
Super dog.
So then I had a vest. I had like a, you know, colorful vest that you see like a lot of entertainers wearing, and that was kind of my thing for a while. So I went from the clown to said, I'm going to just wear a colorful vest. And then I just started not wearing a vest anymore. And then I was like, I think I'm just going to go as is. And then I just started going as is, and I was entertaining kids. And then I was in like some, you know, I mean, I've just been everywhere as is. And it was almost surreal to me, because I would show up in like I did, you know, the vice president's house, and I'd show up in like basketball shorts and a t-shirt. And like, I'd be like carrying my suitcase full of props and like, you know, and just walking up on the grounds and dressed just as it, no costume, nothing. But it was kind of surreal. Like, that's who I'm going to be. I'm just going to come in. I'm going to try to do as entertaining a show as I can. I'm hoping the parents will like me. And then I think the costume is the last thing people really
remember.
Worry about.
Need a signature outfit or garment. Like, some people would do, I guess.
Yeah.
I was like, I wonder. When you, before you got here, I was like, Debbie, I wonder if, number one, what car he's going to drive.
Yeah.
And number two, it's like, is it going to have like signage on it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a funny story about that too. So a lot of there's a lot of very old school thinking with entertaining.
Yeah.
And, so a lot of old school guys, the new school guys and the modern school guys, a lot of them are not like dressing up now. Like, a lot of them are. But a lot of old school guys, I'm talking guys that have been doing this like 40, 50 years, you know, like guys that have been doing it for a long time, you know, magicians. A lot of these guys, they don't believe, they believe, you know, you got to wear the fancy suit or the fancy outfit or whatever. Yeah.
Top hat.
Oh, yeah. Just look, cane. Look the part kind of thing. And so,
buttoned up.
You know, you get magician forms and things.
Kids don't like that.
They'll question. Oh, the great cane is good, but look what he's wearing, like, you know, or something like that. But, so, I remember 1 year I was doing a show. One year I was at a convention, because I've done a few conventions where people will fly me in and speak to other entertainers and about the psychology and entertaining like little kids. And I remember one year I was at my buddy's convention. It's called Kidvention. They have it right here in D.C. And so this one was local. And I was like, you know, this. I was doing a lecture, and there was a guy. It was a full room of people listening and things. And some people got what I was saying right away. But remember, there's no kids in the room. So there's just adults that are taking notes on what you're saying about entertaining kids. So there's a guy in the back of the room, and he's a magician that's phenomenal. His name is Oscar. My buddy Lewis, who was running the convention, his name's Oscar Munoz. And he was watching me lecture, and he's used to wearing like a velvet suit when he performs. He performs on cruise ships, the whole nine yards, and I never met him before. And he's watching me lecture, and I'm trying to explain to him how like a Jack in the Box can be funny, and I'm explaining the whole room and whole thing, but there's no kids in the room. So I'm thinking to myself, it's hard to maybe some of these guys that haven't seen me before envision what I'm saying. They can't see the kids react. So I told Lewis, so this guy Oscar, when I'm up there in a white t-shirt,
mm-hmm.
and this guy is used to being in a, you know, fancy getup. And he tells me later, he's like, I almost walked out of your lecture because I could not believe the things that you were lecturing about. I was like, you know, you're wearing a t-shirt, you're wearing this and that. But what I did was I told him.
What were you saying? That was so off. Or that was so appalling.
No. Just the fact that.
Just because of what you're wearing.
Just the fact that I don't dress up. And like a lot of the guys look very fancy when they come on stage.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm, you know, lecturing about the show and this and that. And, you know, I've done my lecture a few times around the world. And then, so finally I went up to to Lewis, who runs the entire convention. A great, great entertainer, by the way. And anyways, and I said, hey, can you put some kids in front of me? Can you put some kids in front of me? Because I feel like half the audience of adults right here is feeling me. I said, half of them maybe not understanding how I'm telling them or what I'm telling them. And he's like, all right, let me call up a preschool and I'll get an audience in front of you. So I had an audience full of kids come in, right? And then I did my show right there in front of all the magicians that were attending my class. And I did the show. And the second the show was over, Oscar, who I finally became friends with, but I'd never met this guy before. I just knew him because he's been around the world and he's a great performer. He comes up to me, never met him before, and he goes, I just want to say I'm sorry. I never met him. That was the first thing he said to me. He goes, I'm sorry. I didn't get it until I saw you perform. Now I get it. And he goes, he followed me around the room probably four or five times. He's like, I'm really sorry, man. I almost walked out of your lecture.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what you were talking about how to entertain this age group until I saw you do it. And now he goes, Grace Zucchini, I'm a fan now.
Yeah.
And I just had to see it in front of the kids.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So it was, it was pretty cool.
It's an art, not a science.
Yeah.
I think would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, all right, Michael Jordan, tell me how to shoot a free throw.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I could show you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But you're still not going to be Michael Jordan.
No. You got to practice a lot and you got to, you know, hope that God gives you a lot of that talent too.
Yeah.
But that's
it. You brought up another joke, you know, when you work with older kids too, like find out it's a basketball team. I'm like, man, you ever tell you about that shot that I missed back 8 years ago, man, the ball went right off the rim or something. Like, so you can talk to them about other things that you wouldn't normally talk to, like a, you know, different dialogue with the older kids.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
You just kind of know what to do. I mean, and I think, this might speak to why you don't necessarily need to watch videos or take notes as to help you do what you do, because what you do is just you. You stop me anytime here.
Yeah.
But there's like, I think one of the cooler lines in any book is from Shakespeare, and it says, this above all, to thine own self be true. And I think that's one of the hardest things to do, is to put yourself out there and like be loyal to the whatever's going on inside, and then the actions that you have going on the outside is like pretty much aligned.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then to identify your talent, you know, your God-given talent at I mean, at any point in your life, but if you can get it when, on the young side, then that's a blessing in and of itself.
Yeah.
And then to be able to be you using that talent from the inside, coming out and everyone, and be able to make a living doing that. That's another blessing.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to take anything away from you.
Yeah.
You've built a lot of this thing.
And I love challenges, man.
And,
I was going to say too that there's sometimes there's little challenges that I there's little things that I know work out. Like, for instance, you know, cause you brought up Michael Jordan. Like, Michael Jordan was always challenging himself to, you know, he was always using somebody else's words against him, or he was using something to get himself psyched up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying like we're talking about two different things. I'm just talking about entertaining kids, but I'm saying, you know, I like little challenges that come up. For instance, not that I like him, but I'm just with all my experiential learning sort of over the years and things, I just learn how to deal with certain things. You know, this past weekend, for instance, I was doing a show for kids. Parents were phenomenal. Parents were wonderful. I've known they've been to my show a few times with the older kids. Now, their younger one had never seen me before, and that was the one I was performing for. The 5-year-old had never seen me before, so didn't know what to expect. It was a 4-year-old, so didn't know what to expect. And so before the show even starts, the mom goes, "Come on, we're going to go in for the show, watch a great zucchini." And this 4-year-old, who just, because the word show didn't mean anything to that child, because that child had not experienced my show, so it just didn't know me from Adam. So she goes, "We're going to go in the show." And the kid started bawling. So I don't want to go to a show. I don't want to go to a show. I don't want to go to a show. This is the birthday kid. So I'm thinking, all right. So I said, and he was crying. We barely even coming into the room before, and we hadn't started yet. So I'm like, okay. So I said, I went up to the mom and I said, Sarah, I said, if he doesn't know what to expect, because he's just never been to show, and I know he's got some anxiety, he's never seen me before. If you can get him into the room, I can win him over within the first 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, Billy, like, he was all out hysteric cries. He just said, "I don't want to come in the show. I don't want to come to show." And I said, I said, "Just get him into the room somehow, and I'll win him over in like 30 seconds. And, she brought him into the room, and he was belly laughing probably in 15 seconds. And the rest of the show, he was belly laughing and didn't want the show to end.
But
my point is, that's not to be very listened. That's my way of saying that I know that audience, that I just knew that he was going to be okay. He just didn't know what to expect, so he had a little anxiety coming in.
What'd you say to him? You know, what joke? Did you use a certain joke? Do you remember what? How'd you get him to go from tears to laughs?
So I just had this. I said, "Hey guys, I'm the Great Zucchini," and I just had this wand that I use this wand quite a bit, because it's just a fun opener, and it lets the kids know that this is going to be a silly show. And this wand, the end of the wand just pops off like 30 feet across the room.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Hold on, guys, let me go get that wand before I start." I go get the wand, and the wand pops off again. I'm like, "All right, guys, hold on. Let me talk to this wand a second." I said, "No more doing that wand." It pops off again. But he was rolling. And then he helped out. Well, at the same show, I wanted to use a sibling also, because she had been to many shows and she was cracking up also.
Mm-hmm.
And the sibling had been to my shows before, and she wanted to help out. Hey, Caroline, do you want to help out with the show? And she turned towards her mom, and she was cracking up laughing, but she didn't want to come up. So I said, "Okay, that's no problem. You don't have to help." And then, a couple minutes later, I said, "Hey, by the way, you can come up with your brother if you want." So her brother was up there. I said, "Hey, come on back up here. I'm going to call you up with your brother." And, they came up together. So then after the brother sat back down, I called her up on her own, and she came right up on her own. So I just had to get, I brought her up with a familiar face, which is her brother. Mm-hmm. And then kind of
got, no kids.
So my mind is always,
I can see it.
Always working.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it.
You know, working on that stuff. So I, you know, and I'm always scanning the audience, Bill. Like I'm always trying to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like if I'm doing a show for, you know, there's, you know, 300 people there at a theater, you know, I've literally made eye contact with probably everybody in that theater.
Yeah.
I always want to know how everybody's doing.
Yeah. It's a great talent. I mean, I don't know if we talked on air, but we talked about, like, you know, being able to read like ADD and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, you know, some people aren't made to get through a book and then remember it and be able to write a paper on it or do a math problem or, you know, perform science stuff. God does create everyone equally, I think.
Yeah.
I also have this term, it's, I call it my genius quality. I think everyone is a genius. And you just got to figure out what your genius quality is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not many people can, like, scan a room and identify all the faces, be attuned to what's going on all out there, and then be able to adjust on the fly as to what your next move might be.
Right.
That's hypersensitive stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's like a dog smelling, like, something all over there. Like, you're, like, a rare, like, less than 1%, I would think, that can do that. And that's your genius quality. You know, one of them, you know, I would think.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things too, where it's like, well, it's good in, it's good and bad too, because like it's good. Cause I feel like I am good at this one particular facet of my life.
Yeah.
But then I also feel like sometimes I haven't taken enough time to, you know, get good at other things that I'd like to do too, because I'm so locked into this thing that sometimes I feel like I sometimes let other things that go by the wayside. Like, well, I look at your library right there and I'm like, oh man, it would take me. By the way, you have Edgar Allan Poe there. I went to Edgar Allan Poe Elementary School before I went to Bethesda Elementary.
Right.
Yeah. I see sometimes I see some things and I'm like, oh man, it would be really cool to. Cool to try that. And I sometimes have to remind myself to, you know, to try different things sometimes too.
Yeah.
Just to you know, try to broaden my horizons a little bit.
You're never too old to learn. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it might be really hard. You know, like you said, like golf. Like, I'm gonna play golf. You might, number one, you might not be good. Number two, you might not even like it.
Yeah,
you know. But like, I'm gonna try it. If I get the inkling and the urge, like right now, I think your point in your life, and I would say I'm there maybe too. You kind of know your strong suits, and you kind of play off your strong suits. Not to say stay in your bubble. You know what I'm saying? But you know, there are like different things. I don't know.
Yeah.
What are you going to start?
Well, you just started your podcasting in February.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's a great point. Thanks for saying it.
Yeah. No, it's amazing, which is like, you're like, you know what? You probably saw other people doing it.
Yeah.
And you're like, why not me?
Yeah.
Why not me?
I'm not trying to become an astronaut, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm like, I can do this because it relates to who I am.
But you took your, that's what I was going to say. You took your skill, like you seem very natural doing the podcast.
Thank you.
Because you took your skills of probably just being a people person all your life.
I'm curious. Like, I read this stuff.
You're curious. And you like to know.
Figure it out.
Yeah, you're curious about people and you're curious about learning new things. And so therefore, you're like, you probably, like children's entertainers.
Yeah.
You probably don't know a lot about, but then you like brought me in and you learn a little bit about some, but you know, that's why this will be successful for you. Cause you are interested.
Thank you.
You know, which is cool.
Thank you.
I, like I said, would not be a podcast, good podcaster, cause I don't know a lot about a lot of different things. Now, my dad was, a little bit different than that. My dad was one of those guys. My dad went to Yale, got a 1600 on his SATs in high school, was like a genius. I just wasn't, I wasn't the book guy. The book guy that my dad was.
You got a lot to tell though, a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I think that, you're an inspiration. I'm going to try to put my head around our conversation.
Yeah.
And I've already spoke to a little bit. And I think this is a lesson for anyone out there who, if anyone's listening, millions or thousands, the hundreds, listeners.
The next big thing tonight,
just to be like, try to, there's a great Dolly Parton quote. Okay. Figure out, what is it? Golly, figure out, what you love to do, then do it on purpose.
Yes. You yes. know, and, or sort of like my mom always told me, do what you would do in life for free and mm-hmm. try to make a living at it.
Mm-hmm. And you're doing that. And what's really cool, it's very unique, I think, in this area, is that you're definitely, I think you're the exception, in that who you are is who you are is who you are is who you are to everyone ages, whether you've known them for a decade or yeah. only a few hours. You are Eric Noss. You are the Great Zucchini, whatever. The Great Zucchini, it's synonymous. You know what I'm yeah. saying? That's the unique thing about you. You don't have a costume. You know, yeah. you are just you. And yeah. this is what you do. And it also keeps you sane, I guess, enough, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but like, and your kindness and with how you deal with people is a breath of fresh air and an inspiration. You know, like
thank you.
You know, you're a great success story. But
you
answer your phone when you're on vacation because people are the most important thing.
Yeah.
In the world is people.
Yeah.
It's people.
Yeah.
Not things.
And I want people
to souls, like, you know.
And people are always like, man, I can't believe how fast you got back to me. I'm like, it's important to me, man. It still is important to me. It's 30 years. Like, I never, here's the thing, Billy. Like, I've never taken for granted
yeah.
the fact that I'm in this position. Like, if I go to, I just did a show last weekend at, like, Mason District Park. It's in Virginia, but it's in Annandale. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, it's 300 people showing up at, like, 10 a.m. with their kids. And, man, I was just talking. I had some friends that were in town from they were out of town. They came to watch the show. And so I had some friends there also. And I told one of them, I said, you know, I said, I even told the crowd this, too, when I started. I said, man, I just want to say, you know, I really appreciate this. I appreciate you guys coming out. Been doing this 30 years. I appreciate you still coming out to see me with the kids. And it really still means a lot to me, man.
Mm-hmm.
It actually chokes me up a little bit to think about it. Because, like, you know, it's cool. It's cool. People still come out all the time. In my theaters, the public shows. They feel like they know me. You know, they're just, yeah, it's cool. I really, it means a lot to me. It really does.
Yeah. Because you lead with your heart. there's a cool quote.
I like that. You lead with your heart, man.
Yeah, there's another cool quote. It says, the power of love. The world kneels before love. It is in awe. Like,
yeah.
It's so, like, it's an arrester in that, like, it just shuts things down. And just like, okay, if you see acts of love, people that exhibit it, I need more of it.
I respect your memory, man, to just even come up, remember the quotes. See, that's what I was telling you earlier, man. Is like that, like I'll hear a quote somewhere and I want to say it somewhere.
Yeah.
If I don't write it down, it's literally out of my memory, man.
Yeah.
Like it's out of my memory. Like it's like, you know, sometimes like I'll be handing my friends, they're like, remember that time? I'm like, nah, man, I just don't really remember.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I wish I had that sort of,
yeah.
you know, memory that like I got, you know, buddy, man, his he can remember, you know, he'll be like, man, remember back in 1974 when you had that red shirt and those white polka dots on the shirt and you had the, you were wearing those kicks. Like mm-hmm. he remembers everything. And I just don't
mm-hmm.
Have that kind of, wish I remembered quotes like that.
He's not the Great Zucchini. You're the Great Zucchini. All right.
I just remember where I'm supposed to be each and every day, man.
You got you, you know, it's yeah. like, just be you. Everyone else is taken. Just
be
you and yeah. your unique, beautiful skill set. And
it's a tough follow up, man. Who are you going to get next week? George Clooney, man. You got to get this follow this up, man. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's
Got to get Brad Pitt in here for some.
Yeah, I'm trying. You know.
Yeah.
He's a father now. Though.
Huh.
He's got kids and or Angelina's got him, who knows. Yeah.
And 17 babysitters.
Exactly right.
I know he's not.
Two to one
watching
ratio.
Watching them all himself, right?
All right, brother. We're going to wrap it. And just thank you for being here.
Nah, man. I really appreciate you having me, man.
Great Zucchini. He's got the website, right?
Yeah.
Check it out.
TheGreatZucchini.com. And And Billy made it easy to work with, man.
It's not full of recipes.
Yeah.
On the zucchini bread. Debbie, we have a garden and we have zucchini.
Yeah.
And Debbie's got to print out the zucchini bread recipe and everything like that.
I was at one of my shows the other day. A kid brought me a paper mache zucchini that they made at home.
There you go.
Yeah, but you made it super easy, man.
Good.
Thank you, man.
Good, you got it.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Great meeting you,
too. All right, guys.
All right.